This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Starting this hour, we got Josh Edwin, CBS Sports, to talk NFL. We also got top five, bottom five, as we have just done the 17th week of the NFL, week 18. Coming up this weekend, a lot of playoff implications on the line. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Click or call today. Find out how we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing fantastic. We got 1 week left in the NFL season, so before long, we'll know the draft order and we'll know where everybody's seated in the playoffs.
I know, it's an exciting time. It's a time where you know that it's ending, but it's the kind of time you were looking forward to anyway. I want to start with a team that's not in the playoffs, and that's Denver. What is the situation with them and Russell Wilson? What did you make of all of the back and forth between quarterback, coach, and also the Players Association getting involved and how they've handled Russell Wilson?
Well, it kind of came out of left field. I mean, coming into the year, I would not have been surprised if we had reached this sort of resolution because of the way that he had played last year with a new head coach coming in. They often want their own guy running the ship. And, you know, Russell Wilson just did not have a great season a year ago. So I think it was a surprise coming into the year, or not a surprise coming into the year, but the way that they played over that month and a half, it kind of made me start to believe that maybe there's something that they could cobble together for a couple of years and really elevate this team, you know, fill a couple of needs, and maybe they make a push for the AFC playoffs in the next couple of years. But obviously, Sean Payton saw a longer-term vision for this organization. Moving on from Russell Wilson, the stuff that was kind of happening behind the scenes, you know, it is a business, so we kind of lose sight of that sometimes. But it was kind of snaky the way that Denver handled it. So I'm not surprised the NFLPA got involved. I don't think we've seen the end of this story quite yet. But obviously, Russell Wilson's time in Denver has come to an end.
This kind of conversation about injury guarantees and, you know, pushing them, is that common? Because I feel like, I don't know if it's the exact same situation. I feel like this is what the Raiders did to Derek Carr last year.
Yeah, it is similar to what the Raiders did with Derek Carr a year ago, obviously opening the door for him to leave in free agency. Nobody is going to trade for a quarterback under the current terms of Russell Wilson's contract, similar to Derek Carr. That's why they had to be released and go to free agency. I think with the amount of money that we're seeing thrown around in the NFL these days, there's been a lot more unique mechanics that teams are trying to use in order to skirt some of those dead salary cap hits that have become so large in recent years. You talk about Carson Wentz and what Philadelphia had to eat. You're talking about Derek Carr, obviously, in Las Vegas a year ago, and now Russell Wilson. So teams are trying to find unique, creative ways to get out of these contracts that they've committed so heavily towards. And it worked in the case of Derek Carr because he wanted to get out that bad. If you remember the Raiders, once they made that move, Derek Carr did not come back to the facility. He was entirely done. Russell Wilson, you know, he's come back to the Denver facility. He's taken interviews. He's talking to teammates. Having that situation in the building is not necessarily conducive to a winning environment. So you can understand why Denver would want to try to get him out of the building at that point, but it's being handled a little bit differently. And I think what Denver has done is a little bit different than Las Vegas, because Russell Wilson is not quite at the same point mentally leading the organization as Derek Carr had been a year ago.
So let's talk about some teams that are going into the playoffs, and the Cleveland Browns right now at 11-5. And Joe Flacco has been the right fit coming from off his couch to help this team win games and get themselves into this position. What has been the reason he has fit so well? What is there something, is there a devil in the detail other than he's playing well? That seems to be a generic answer. But what is specifically is he doing that has allowed him to just sort of seamlessly help this team win football games?
I think it's his explosive playability, his ability to push the ball downfield. Cleveland kind of lacked that earlier this year, even when they had Deshaun Watson. Flacco has always had a strong arm. He's certainly shown that in a short period of time with the Browns, even at 38 years old. But that element had been missing to their offense. When you take Nick Chubb out of the offense, you need to find a way to, you know, keep defenses honest. And I think their ability to push the ball downfield with Flacco has been something that they've kind of rallied around. Amari Cooper coming off one of the best game for a Browns wide receiver a couple of weeks ago with over 200 receiving yards. Those explosive plays has been what has rallied this Browns team, but there is kind of a turnover cloud hanging over their head. They've had the most turnovers in the NFL this year. Joe Flacco is a risky quarterback. He's going to take chances. And if that luck swings in the other way once they get to the playoffs, that could be something that kind of tilts the seesaw away from the Browns. Maybe that's something that is ultimately their demise. But to this point, Joe Flacco has provided a much-needed energy boost to this team. And you see the defense kind of rallying around it, too, because there had been so many weeks where the offense was just not carrying their weight. And it's difficult if you're a defense that is doing everything you can to give your chance to win a football game, and the offense is just not doing their part. So I think you've seen both units really come together and win a couple of meaningful games here down the stretch.
The beauty of this sport has always been its unpredictability, in that it doesn't always go chalk, and you never are safe in the postseason, especially in a one-game situation. But the Baltimore Ravens do look like they are head and shoulders better than everyone. Every team below them has got a problem, or there's an uncomfortableness about the way they're playing. Do you see anybody in the AFC that is kind of dialing things, fine-tuning things, enough to be a challenge for a more complete team like what Baltimore has been doing the last couple of weeks?
Well, honestly, I would say it would have to be the Browns at this point.
Yeah.
The way that their offense has been playing, the defense has obviously been one of the best in the NFL, if not the best, throughout the course of the season. If Joe Flacco is able to keep playing at the level that he's been playing, and Cleveland's able to get a little bit more healthy, Grant Delpit is eligible to return for the playoffs, that could be a team that challenges Baltimore. They've already beaten the Ravens at one point this year. I do agree with you. The Ravens are kind of a juggernaut right now. They seem to be the team with the fewest questions on both sides of the ball, not only in the AFC, but in the NFC as well. But if I was looking for one team that could potentially challenge them, it would probably be the Browns. With Flacco, who has the first or second most road victories in the postseason throughout his career, now you're talking about him going back to the place that he began his career in Baltimore and having a chance to enact a little bit of revenge. That's one of the cool storylines that could play out in the postseason if Cleveland is able to advance, because right now that would be the second round matchup.
Buffalo and Miami. Miami lost Bradley Chubb. Again, it's a huge loss, but you can erase it and come back and win at home. But how do you handicap for the division between the Bills and the Dolphins?
I think the Bills have all the momentum right now. Obviously, Miami not only lost Bradley Chubb, but you're down Jalen Phillips already. Andrew Van Ginkel had stepped up at that edge rusher position, but you know, once you lose Chubb, once you lose Phillips, a couple of players that had been playing at a Pro Bowl type level, it's just difficult to overcome that. I feel like the momentum is more with Buffalo right now, with the way that Josh Allen has been playing and with an improved defense here over the past month. So if I had to handicap that race at this point, I'd say Buffalo is probably the favorite.
All right, let's go to the NFC. And listen, controversy aside from the Cowboys-Lions game, the NFL dodged a bullet that it didn't cost the Lions an opportunity to make the playoffs or anything like that. But we have a officiating issue in this league. How do they address it? How do they sort of calm the nerves of the public that say, you know what, we're doing the best we can to try to fix these problems? I know they demoted the team. Is there anything more they can do?
I mean, you could give them more training and, you know, devote more time to that in the off season, but I also don't know if the NFL really cares enough to do that, because we're talking about the NFL as a result of those officiating mistakes. And while it did not cost Detroit a spot in the playoffs, it will probably cost them home field advantage, you know,
That's
if
true.
They were
Good
to
point.
Eventually meet the Cowboys later in the postseason. So it was still a very meaningful call. One that was embarrassing when it happened, and it's still embarrassing a couple of days later. They've definitely got an officiating problem, and I think the bigger issue is it's not just a judgment call, like pass interference or holding or something of that nature, but it's procedural, where the player went up to the official and explained what was happening. I had heard that the coaching staff had even told them prior to the game, hey, this is a play that we may run. This is what's going to happen. So the officiating crew was prepared for that possibility. And it was still just handled inappropriately. So having that sort of outcome determine what could possibly happen in the playoffs is something that should be considered unacceptable. It's just a matter of what the NFL is going to do. And honestly, I don't know if this is the straw that broke the camel's back or if they will actually show that they do care and try to devote more time to training and, you know, advance officiating in that way this offseason.
Josh Edwards, CBS. Appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year to you. Hope we catch up with you soon.
Happy New Year to you and all your listeners as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Josh Edwards on our Progressive Guest Line. And like I said, yeah, okay, he's right. Yeah, if the Detroit Lions have to go to Dallas to play the Cowboys in the playoffs, if somehow that works out, yep, we're gonna revisit that call, that just confusion and mess at the end of, on that two-point conversion on Saturday night. But the bigger thing for me on that is this. I don't believe any of these games are rigged. I don't. I roll my eyes at the idea that there's a script. I know the NFL played with had made fun of the idea that it's all scripted. But when you have these things happen, it does make people think that there is. It allows that narrative to get more and more steam. It allows something that you kind of go, that'll be really hard. Even if you start thinking all the logistics, how many people that have to be quiet, how many people have to keep it a secret. But when you have that, it allows that conspiracy to percolate, and there's nothing you can do to calm it down. Because you're saying to yourself, it seems to happen over and over and over again, where things inexplicably are called confusion. It's a mess. Oops, we made this mistake. Oops, we made another mistake. And it just keeps building upon itself. All right, top five, bottom five coming up. We've played 17 weeks of the NFL. We got one more to go. Top five, bottom five next.